Yes, we are transforming. I was lost in thought over there. Okay, yeah. Hey, man, great to see everyone here this morning. And we are continuing in our big Transformers series here at Celebration Church. And we've been talking about really how God is a God of systems and that he's made it very simple for us to experience some really powerful transformation in our lives by participating in his system of transformation through the local church. And that for the believer, if we'll participate in these four things, talking about weekend services, small groups, the growth track, and then also serving or stewardship, in other words, serving God, putting him first in our time, our talents, and our treasure, that we can experience some powerful transformation in our lives. And I really want to encourage you, our small groups this semester have gotten off to an incredible start. And they kicked off this past week. Some more kicking off this week. We have marriage groups, single groups, interest groups, message-based groups. So I really encourage you to check out the spot if you can immediately following the service, just to get some more information about groups meeting in your area and some good stuff like that. So good. It's all good. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 40. And we are going to continue in the bump up flow. How many of you were here last week that we preached on the bump up? Everybody say bump up. And we talked about how as we participate in these four arenas of church life, a byproduct of that transformation process from God is that we experience an incredible bump up in our quality of life. And so many people today, and that term's a very popular term, quality of life, they're looking for that. We're all looking for that. We want to experience a feeling of security. We want to experience a feeling that we're doing the right thing and that there's a quality of life and we're blessed and all these kind of things. But I think what we're going to see today, one of the things I'm going to show you is that what people think about quality of life, you know, usually if I think, hey, you know, we talk about how I want to improve the quality you want to improve the quality of your life, you know, we think about like a place. Well, you know, I'd like to move to this neighborhood or in this kind of house, or, you know, I'd like to move over here or move away from that person. You know, we think about those kind of things, or we think financially like about a number. You know, I'm making this much money now. Man, if I could just make this much money, then I could really kind of do this and that, or, you know, if I could do this or change that. But really what we're going to find out by the end of this message is that all those things are a sliding scale. You're not looking for a place. You're not looking for a number. You think you are, but what you're really looking for is a feeling of security where there is margin created in your life where you know in your conscience that you're doing the right thing and you're putting God first. And it's that feeling, it's that quality of life that God wants to give everybody no matter where you are. And so I think we're going to learn some good things here as we talk about stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. And that's really the fourth arena of church life where we really talk about serving. And we talk about serving God primarily in four areas. We talk about serving or honoring God with our time. We talk about serving or honoring God with our abilities. We talk about serving or honoring God with our goods. And we talk about serving or honoring God with our money. And so we're going to talk about those four things here today. And let's look in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And here we see, as far as the four arenas of church life, we see these things in action. Talked about this last week. Here comes Peter, man. He's preaching. Here's the big weekend service. And all these people are getting saved. And they're experiencing the lordship of Jesus Christ. And talks about verse 41. All these people getting baptized. There's the first one, the weekend services. Then it goes in, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There's the growth track right there. And I don't know, you know, obviously Peter, he developed a growth track, and maybe it was actually Peter who developed the spot. You know, they didn't have a place to meet, so they found, you know, they pointed at a tree and a dirt over there, and he said, okay, all you new believers, go to that spot over there, and we'll get you some good stuff where you can start getting discipled and going a little bit deeper in God. Then we see the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And there's the small group component. And then, as we talked about last week, not just Peter's great preaching, but it's when they really begin to experience these arenas of church life that transformation begin to take place. And you know, it talks about the signs and the wonders there in verse 43. And here comes the supernatural stuff from God that starts transforming lives. Come on, how many of you want the supernatural stuff from God? Look, I got good news for you. Guess what? God did not put these stories in the Bible, you know, to torment you. He didn't put Acts 2:40 through 47 and say, man, look at all these people who are experiencing the bump up and being blessed and, you know, all these good things, and they were fulfilled and they were enjoying their life and they had peace and they had joy and all this kind of stuff. God, he doesn't put these things in his word to torment us. It's not like that, you know, brochure to Hawaii where you're like, man, that looks nice, but, you know, I'm not going to get there. You know what I'm saying? Listen, in Jesus' name, you can get there. And I will say this, it's not complicated, okay? God is not complicated. Religion complicates God. It's simple, man. The gospel is good news, okay? Jesus took deep, possibly mystical or complicated truths, and he made them very, very simple. And that's what we're talking about. Like, that's what you're saying. Stovall, are you basically saying there's four things that if I participate in these things, that my life can be changed week in and week out? Yes. I'm telling you, there's four things. It's that simple. And God's system is very simple. I mean, look at all the system. Hey, it's daytime. Wake up. Sun's up. Get up. Not complicated. You know? Okay, hey, it's late. It's been dark for a while. Okay, go to sleep. Not complicated. It's just, he creates these things. Okay, here's some air. Breathe. Ready? All right. You got it? Good. Okay. These things are simple. But too many of us, we complicate things. We try to figure out God. What we try to do is watch. We try to create another system because we don't believe God's system, or, you know, God's system is this, or, okay, I like these two or three parts of the system, but I don't like this fourth part of the system. But, you know, I like this stuff in the Bible, but, you know, I don't like this stuff in the Bible. That's why we talked about, you know, we come and we celebrate the goodness of God. We focus on that God loves us no matter what. God blesses us because he's good, not because you're good. But then when the inspired message despise not prophecies, the Bible says, that means inspired messages. Here comes the inspired message. Here comes the word that might bring some instruction or might bring some correction. And we want to have good hearts with good souls so we can experience God's transformation power for ourselves. But it's your life, but we got to do it God's way. You can keep doing it your way. You know, you can be right here in the same predicament this time next year. You know what? And I'll probably preach a similar type message. Next year, we'll just wrap it. That's what we do. We preach about 8 or 9 basic concepts here at Celebration Church. We just keep rewrapping them in different packages. Yeah, I'm telling you, this stuff is not complicated, man. This stuff is good. This stuff works. God is real. He wants to get involved in your life. Stop going through the motions. Stop playing religion. Why don't you give God a real shot? You've given everything else a shot. Okay, I'll be good. All right, so. Okay, so now here's the serving or the stewardship part. Look at verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So here we go. So now they're practicing stewardship. They're serving. They're meeting one another's needs. They're sharing their resources. They're giving of their finances. And then look, here's the bump up. So there's those four things in practice. We just saw weekend services, the growth track, small groups, and stewardship. And then here's the bump up. So continuing, so important. We continue. It's just a system that we start working in the system, start participating in the system, and the stuff starts working. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness. They had joy in their lives. They had simplicity of heart. Things were not complicated because they had their priorities in order. Things were working. They were getting blessed. They had, you know, that satisfaction on the inside that we're talking about. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. By participating in those four arenas, they were actually fulfilling the Great Commission. And through participation in those four arenas, God was adding souls to the church. So watch this. Over the next few minutes here, I want to give you four things how to be a good steward. Everybody say a good steward. A good steward. If you look in the Bible, Jesus is constantly talking about, you know, that we're not the owners, but that we're stewards or that we're managers. And there's good stewards and there's bad stewards. Now, this is very, very important. There's three judgments, okay? There's a great white throne judgment. That's for the unbeliever. Thank goodness you're not going to be part of that. There's the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation before the millennium, not to get too deep in eschatology, okay? So thank goodness you're not going to be part of that one, but there is a very important judgment for the believer, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. And basically, at that judgment is when we're going to answer the question before God, what did we do with our stuff? What did we do with the things that God has given us in the areas of our time? We're all on the same amount of time. There's our abilities, our energies, our intelligence, our goods, the stuff, you know, possessions, the things that we had access to, and then also our money. He's going to ask us that, and we are going to be rewarded accordingly. Then that's why you see if all through the Bible, there's, you know, this steward, he took five and made 10. There was this steward, he took two and made five. Ooh, there was this steward, he had one, he didn't do anything with it. That wasn't good. You constantly see these stories of managers and stewards, and the early church had an understanding. That's why of this, that's why in the scripture there in 44 and 45, it says that they had all things in common. So watch. How could they have all things in common? In other words, okay, your stuff is my stuff. You know, my stuff is your stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? Like my water is your water, but your JAG tickets are my JAG tickets. You got me going on. Look, hey, hey, I got some mints. My mints are your mints, but your fishing boat is my fishing boat. You see? You know, my pocket change is your pocket change. Your country club membership is my country club membership. It's that kind of all things in common. Is that not even? Did I say that I liked fishing? But anyway. But how did they have that? How do you really have all things in common? The only way that you can really have an understanding that really, you know, your stuff is my stuff and we have all things in common is guess what? We all understand that we have a common owner. In other words, the owner of your stuff and the owner of my stuff is the same guy. And we're both just managers. And he's the owner. So the early church had this understanding, man, we have all things in common because we all have a common owner, and that's God. And that's the first principle of serving. That's the first principle of stewardship. Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. So here's the deal, okay? Do we have any earth dwellers here today? Are you an earth dweller? If you are an earth dweller, Psalm 24:1 applies to you. Guess what? We belong to God. God created everything. This is God's air. This is God's stuff. That's God's chair you're sitting in. You say, well, God didn't make that. Yes, he did. He put all the stuff on the earth. That chair is made out of God's stuff. The air that we're breathing to stay alive, guess what? That's made out of God's stuff. God is the owner, we are stewards, we are managers. Now here again, once again, if you can understand this principle, if you can understand this concept from God's word, you make a decision one time and you manage that decision for the rest of your life within the systems and economies of God. Okay, you don't have to re-decide this and re-decide that. You understand, okay, God's the owner, I'm a steward, I'm a manager, I will be held accountable for my life. I will be held accountable for my stuff. I will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so I want to be a good steward. But here's the fun stuff. Guess what? God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to have this type of simplicity, man. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have money and stuff to do fun stuff. There's all kinds of scriptures I can show you for this. But here's the deal. God has to come first. Same thing with your time. You know, I have three children. Aren't you glad I know how many children I have? Carrie and I have three children. And we have Annabelle, she's 5. Stovey's 8. Okay. His birthday was yesterday, man. That was a trip. Okay. The theme of his birthday was war. So anyway, whole nother concept. But anyway, And then Kaylin is 10. So obviously, you know, if you're a parent out there, obviously ages 5, 8, and 10, you know, cleaning the rooms are a big deal now. You know, before you can do this, before you can do that, you know, go and clean your room. So all of our kids kind of have a different little style of how they clean the room, you know, and, you know, like, it's just all different. You know, Stovey's stuff, like he's into Transformers, he's into all these kind of things, so he kind of sets up little, he thinks it's neat, but he kind of sets up little battle stations, you know, around the room. It's clean to him, then that's okay, just, you know, no clothes under the bed and all that kind of stuff. And Kaylin's a little bit different. Man, she's just got stuff everywhere. It's just stuff, man. It's just like trinkets and just stuff, and all, everything seems to be important, you know, like this piece of torn paper. She's like, oh no, that's this. So we let her, that's okay. I mean, she's different from Stovey. And of course, Annabelle's 5. So she just goes and messes up Kaylin's room. So her room's pretty simple. She just wants to be with Sissy, but it's kind of like this. It's their room. We have some principles. Okay. No dirty clothes under the bed and no just throwing junk. We have some principles. And as long as they abide by those principles, they can kind of have their own style of cleaning their room. But here's the concept. It's their room, but it's my house. Do you see? So their room is not really their room, is it? Their room is really, I'm the owner of the house. I'm the owner of the room. I've given them their room to steward, to manage. They have a lot of freedom. They have a lot of flexibility in how they can do it. But I have a few, Carrie and I have a few principles that are very important that they all have to abide by. Same thing with God. Look, it's your room, okay? It's your life, but it's His house. And there's, man, you have lots of flexibility. You have lots of freedom. He created you differently. He created all of us differently and all this kind of stuff. But there are a few principles that He has that we all need to abide by if we're going to be if we are going to be successful in His kingdom and honor Him the way that He needs to be honored. Can I have a good amen? So 4 things. Watch this real quick. First, I'm going to give you 4 things. It has to do with stewardship. Number 1, time. Honoring God with your time, putting Him first in your time. I hear this all the time. So you know, I'm so busy. Guess what? We're all busy. You ever thought about that? Everybody, well, I'm so tired. We're all tired, man. We're all busy. We're all tired. I got another thought for you. Tired, you know who's ruling the world? Tired people. Tired people are ruling the world. All right, you don't think the president's tired? Is that hilarious? Have you seen it's not hilarious. We need to pray for our presidents, whoever they are. I saw one of those before and after pictures. Like, this is the president when he was inaugurated, you know, all happy, has their hair, everything's great. And then it's like after their term, you know, and they're just stressed out. And seriously, man, we need to pray for our leaders. Come on, how many of you know? Not regardless of how you feel about them or their policies or anything, God says that we're to honor the office and we're to pray for those in authority over us. But we're all busy. That's why God's made a real simple system. That's why after Jesus was resurrected, they moved Sunday, at least on the Christian calendar, to the first day of the week. Technically, Sunday is the first day of the week. And that's why we have church on Sunday. So we honor God with that time. But guess what? We don't decide, should I go to church this weekend? We don't need to re-decide that every week, do we? We settle that once and for all. I understand out of town, sick, this and that, special occasions. I'm not talking about being legalistic or some kind of ruralistic psycho, but I'm basically talking about it's a principle that we're going to honor God with our time. And that once a week on that principle, the Sabbath, in your daily life, I encourage you, honor God with your time. You know, God should be the first person that you talk to when you wake up in the morning. Even as you roll out of bed, if you just say, God, I humble myself before You today. Help me to put You first in every area of my life. It's just honoring God with your time. So, so important. Number 2, we honor God with our abilities. Romans 12, 6a, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. So there's a grace. You have intelligence. You have abilities. You have energies. God wants you to honor him with those abilities. In your career, in your workplace, God wants you to, he wants you to be light out there. He wants you to use your abilities in that area and honor him as well. And in being a witness in your workplace, but also in the church. And that's why it's so, so important that you pray about and you be open to finding a place of serving in your local church, which obviously for most of you is Celebration Church. And you know, whether it's once a month or this or that, and you might say, well, Stovall, I have no idea what I should do. Why let a meaningless question like that get in the way? Y'all didn't get that. Get in the way of serving God. And look, guess what? When I became a Christian, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do. I mean, you can be on guest services. Man, we need, if you like to sweat, you like to get a Sunday workout, I got the ministry for you. It is parking cars, my friend. I met two of our parking attendants. They're out in the lot. They said, you know what we do? They go for a run. I mean, Sunday is a full blown. They run, I don't know how many miles before church, and then they put on their parking things and they go right out. It's like going in the sauna. You know what I'm saying? You get your workout all in on Sunday, go jogging and then park cars. Children's ministry, media, youth, so many different things. Guest services, so many different places you can serve in. When I became a Christian, I just kind of like signed up where needed. You can sign up where needed. Believe me, we have so many places where you're needed. I signed up where needed. You know where they put me? They put me logging, carrying 100-pound stages. How'd you like this to sign up where needed, and this is where they put you? Carrying 100-pound stages on Tuesday afternoons out at LSU so that the mime team and the outreach team could perform on them. That was my where needed ministry. I promise you, we will not do that to you, okay? I did anything, man. I did greeters. I mean, I did facilities. I helped put up a fence. I was a mime. You want to know how clueless I was and how I should? I just knew I needed to serve God. I signed up to be a mime, so I just stand out there on the deal, be like, "I'm telling you, I guarantee you, I was the worst mime that ever mimed ever." People, that's how I got off the mimes, because people that would come to see the mimes, they would leave, so we wouldn't get a chance to preach to them. The goal of the mime is like to attract a crowd, and then you know, the mime kind of tells a story, but I'd butcher the story and I was such a bad mime that I'll leave. So that was the only ministry I got kicked out of. But the other ones, they let me stay. I led a small group. I had like two people come to my small group. I'll make some of you small group leaders feel good. Yeah, I was a real good small group leader. I had like two people, you know. So halfway through, we ditched the message. We just started coming over and eating. You know, it's... Now, small group leaders, don't do that, okay? You kids stay in school. All right, so there's abilities. Goods, everybody say goods. Number three, goods. Do good with your goods. Possessions, your abilities. I'm so grateful here at Celebration Church. We have such an awesome group of people that have understood this principle. Can I tell you, we have doctors, we have dentists that do charitable work for people. I mean, when the Watoto Choir was here, we were able to help some of the Watoto Choir with dental needs and a few other things. Some of you give of your business, or your company's able to do this, so you help the church in this way or you do that. We so, so appreciate that. And you can, no matter what you do or where you are, there is something that you have that can be a real blessing to somebody else. And I want to ask you to do this. I want to ask you this week, pray about this. Pray about giving something away of value to somebody else. Okay? I'm not talking about like something sentimental, you know, like your anniversary. You know, your husband goes and gives away your anniversary. I'm not talking about anniversary gift. I'm not talking about something sentimental, but I'm just talking about something of value that you can give away that will be a blessing to somebody else. There's something about when you have that kind of generosity, God is able to do something incredible on the inside of you. Because what? It's not our stuff anyway, is it? It's his stuff. God's the owner of that. B, be a blessing to somebody else. We have people that have given cars to single moms here, just all kind of stuff, but even small stuff, man. You'd be surprised. Buying somebody's meal, giving somebody a gift certificate, giving something of some type of something that you have. It can be a real blessing to somebody else. Pray about somebody in need and how you can help them this week. And the last thing, number four, is money. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord. Everybody say, honor the Lord. By giving him the first part of your income. The first part of your income. So once again, God has set up a system here where we have income. So let's just say that you make $1,000 a week. God has a system. You make $1,000 a week. That's your gross income. Okay, it's called the tithe. The tithe is not just 10%. Most people think a tithe is 10%. It's not 10%. It's the first 10%. So important. Remember, the first part of your income. Sunday is the principle there. It's the first part of the week. It's the best part of your time. Do you see what I'm talking about? So what we do, if it's $1,000, we would take $100 before we think about what we're going to do or bills or anything else. We take $100 of that 10% and we give that to God first. And we give that to his storehouse, the local church, whatever your local church is. So the principle here is we give to God first, we save second, and then we live on the rest. I'm going to give that, I know that's oversimplifying a lot of financial planning and strategy and all of that, but watch this. See, everybody, most people in this room, here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, if I could just make X amount of money, Stovall, I could do all that. So if I could just get to this level of income, then I could do that. Did you know this? Let's talk about a global scale. Did you know on a global scale, if you make $37,000 a year, you are in the top 4% of earners in the world. If you make $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of earners in the world. Some of you just found out you were rich. And it didn't make you feel that good, did it? Did you know this? Did you know this is a survey? This is a recent survey. Do you know they surveyed people that made $37,000 a year, $37,000 a year under, and they said, what do you consider rich? What do you consider to be wealthy? The group of those people said, man, $75,000. If I just made $75,000 a year, I'd be wealthy. That's it. I'd be rich. You know, they interviewed the group that made between $50,000 and $75,000 a year. You know what they said? They said $100,000 a year. If I just made $100,000 a year, then I'd be wealthy. Then I'd be rich. They interviewed the group that made $100,000 a year. Man, if I just made $250,000 a year. Man, $100,000 just nothing. You know, I got school and tuition and insurance and taxes and this and that, all this kind of stuff. Then they interviewed the group that made $250,000 a year. Guess what? $500,000. Do you see? And it keeps going, and they finally got to even a group that was making $500,000 a year. Many of them considered people. See, it's always a sliding scale. You just start with Bruce Wayne and work backwards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Bill, go, well, who's rich? Well, Bill Gates is rich. I'm not rich. Globally, if you make over $45,000 or over, you're in the top 1% of earners. This is my point. What is your point? I have no point. No, I really do have a point. Here's my point. Watch. Wealth is a sliding scale. Everybody thinks they're looking at a number to bring peace and satisfaction and a quality of life. It's not in the number. Guess what it's in? It's in the margin and in the peace that you know you're doing the right thing. So wherever you are in your financial, and I know there's single moms and there's divorces and the company bought out, you know what? I know there's always things out there. You don't have any income or whatever the thing is. But wherever you are right now, you need to make this decision one time and you need to manage it for the rest of your life. And that's this. God gets the first. He gets seat. Too many of us, we're in debt. We're trying to get to the next level. You get to the next level, guess what? You just get in more debt. And then you get to the next level and you still don't have financial peace. It's about making a decision one time. I'm going to honor God with the tithe. The next thing is, guess what? I'm going to save. I'm going to create some margin in my life. It would be optimal if you could save 10%. But even just something to start where you are. I'm going to give to God first, then I'm going to save, then I'm going to live on the rest. Wherever you are, at $36,000 a year, at $50,000 a year, at $100,000 a year, at $250,000 a year, if you can give God first, then save, then live on the rest, that gives you the feeling of wealth. The feeling is that you have margin created in your life where you are not strapped financially. With also, you know that you're doing, I believe Christians want to give. We know tithing's the right thing. We know that we should do it. But our financial lives are a mess. Put God first, then save, then live on the rest and make whatever adjustments. I know it can be a process sometimes, but I'll tell you what, here's a picture. If you believe God for that picture, you'll find out that you get there a lot quicker than you thought. Can I have a good amen to that? God wants to bless you supernaturally in the area of your finances, but we got to have his system. Give to God first, save.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.